Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you and thank you for yet another glorious day where to admire your creation. Thank you for blessing us with your perfect example of love and mercy. Build in us a faith that reflects your love upon those around us, no matter the circumstances. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, we all have moments in life that kind of stand out in our memory, for better or worse. Formative moments, like getting your first job. Impactful moments, like getting the courage to ask someone out. Important moments, like getting married or becoming a parent. These moments are so vivid, you can close your eyes and play them back in your mind like a movie. We learn not to touch a hot stove, not to talk back to adults. Or, as I learned from my wonderful older sister, it is in fact not safe to pee on a hot wire fence. I can guarantee that. But there is one specific memory that it kind of stands out to me from time to time, and it's what I call how to be like Christ. And to give some context, you know, I was about 10 years old, and you know, I grew up in kind of outside of town in the country, and for whatever reason, we ended up moving into town for a while. And just the last Christmas before, I got a bright, shiny, brand new bike. And I was really excited to ride this bike on paved streets rather than the gravel driveway that was very unforgiving, learning how to ride on. But as it turns out, even small towns have a bad part. And unbeknownst to me, we lived in it. I think some of you already know where this is going. I did what I had always done with the bike. I got done riding, I rolled it up to the front porch, put the kickstand down, leaned it over, and walked inside. And so it was, to my naive surprise, a few hours later, looking outside, the bike was no longer there. And I was devastated. There was nowhere to be found. And I remember crying, you know, I never experienced this. No one steals your bike and you live in the middle of nowhere, right? So I was devastated. I was crying, and my mom, who I love so much, I thought it was so unfair, and she decided to comfort me with my favorite cookies. And I'm a big fan, and she's really good at it. So if you're watching this, please feel free to bring some. But as it turns out, an hour later, there was a knock at the door. And so I go and open it, and I am now face to face with a tall teenager who is much too large for my bike, with his head kind of hanging low. He mumbled some words that I assume were part of an apology. And come to find out, we had a family friend in town who saw him walking my bike down the street and kind of put two and two together. And so he made him walk it back and apologize. So at this point, I'm still kind of confused how to feel about the whole situation. Because I wanted to be angry. You know, this is the guy that just got done, you know, rocking my world and teaching me this harsh lesson. And so I was fully expecting my mom to go into mama bear mode, you know, like give him an earful. Like, I know the talk I got whenever I first learned my first lesson about stealing, so I knew what she was capable of. And so I knew there was, I wanted there to be something. I wanted that expectation. I was, how loud is it gonna be? Is she gonna really tear into him? But instead, that is not what happened. In fact, I watched my mother go into the kitchen and bring this young man the same cookies that she just made for me to comfort me. And to top it off, she asked if he needed a drink, perhaps some sweet tea or some lemonade. I'll throw you together some. Would you like some food? Man. Needless to say, I was bewildered, for lack of a better word. What I had witnessed in front of me is compassion. And as I stood there watching in awe, the foundational memory was made for me that defined how you treat those who harm you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who harm you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. There are a lot of red letters in the first four books of the New Testament. But I think that these are some of the most radical and important words ever printed in red ink. As Christians, we love to echo the words of the gospel to each other, encouraging each other, reminding each other that God's forgiveness and mercy and love is pointed towards us. And there's even a whole industry built around printing those words on t-shirts and keychains and bumper stickers and anything else that you can possibly think of that those words will fit on. But I've come here today to ask you simply, where are those words printed? In our actions, in our thoughts, in our interactions with others when we leave the building. We live in a world that seems almost polar opposite of what we just read. We constantly work to rationalize the way that we speak and we act towards people of maybe the other political party or people who say or do things that we don't agree with or maybe we find offensive. Everything in our sinful nature wants to justify hitting back, seeking justice against those who hate us and curse us. Yet here we are, face to face with Jesus in this text, telling us things that seem so unnatural to us. They almost sting your ears when you hear them and you begin to think of the implications for our own life. If someone hits you, offer them the other cheek. Well, sure, it sounds simple enough. We know it's not easy to do. Turning the other cheek isn't a reaction. It's a response. It's done on purpose. And most of the time, when it's done, it's actually rather disarming. It's not to say you shouldn't defend yourself or protect others if necessary. I mean, look who's talking. Self-defense is literally my number one hobby. It's all I do. And yet, you're not avoiding conflict. You're dissolving it. And by doing so, you show compassion. Speaking out against greed, Jesus said, if someone wants to take your cloak or sue you for it, go above and beyond in generosity. If they take your cloak, give them the very shirt off your back. And as you stand there in the street, shirtless, their greed is exposed. If someone begs of you, freely give to them. If someone takes something from you, don't ask for it back. That one stings a little bit. But what does it really mean? It means that there are people in need, and sometimes those people don't pay you back. It means if you lend money to someone, just write it off. If they pay you back, it's a bonus. But a person in need is a person in need. Respond to them with an open heart and love. Jesus is calling us here to be generous and compassionate. In fact, he goes so far to say that show the same generosity and compassion that you would want them to show you if you were in their shoes. The golden rule, as it's called. Jesus goes on to say, If you only love those who love you, how is that special? If you only do good to those who do good to you, how is that any different from the rest of the world? The world does that anyway, religion or not. And if that's all we're doing, the world will never change. When you only love those who love you, or you only lend to those who are guaranteed to pay you back, you're not reflecting the unconditional love of Christ. You're reflecting the world back at itself. God's character is reflected in these extreme examples. We can also see God's character in this week's Psalm, Psalm 103. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And as far as east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." Extreme compassion, extreme forgiveness, unconditional love. Paul encourages us as Christians in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children," meaning as ones loved by God, be imitators of the one who has loved you. That is our call from Jesus in this text, whether we like it or not. You are to be like God to each other because that is what God is to you. And this isn't some form of legalism. This isn't a call that comes down and adds weight. It's a call to love because we're free of that weight. We've been set free. We are to reflect God's love to those who God has chosen to put in our lives, even if they are enemies. And who is that enemy for you? Sometimes it's a boss, or a coworker, or a relative. That's always fun. Maybe it's someone on social media. Who comes to mind when you hear the words, "love your enemy," that causes a sting in your conscience? Because we all have one, if we're honest. Because Jesus calls us here, turn your cheek. Give your tunic. Love those who insult us. Pray for those who persecute us for our faith. Love them without expecting any love back. Love literally everyone around us, even in a world that is increasingly against this gospel. A world that sees us as more and more countercultural every day. A world that sees faith as an adversary, yet Jesus says, love. Love and serve. Be the beacon of light. Be the example of what God has done for you in his mercy. In his mercy, our merciful Lord, so much love he has for you, so much compassion he has for all of humanity, that he endured everything, the insults, the scourging, his own people whom he loved shouting, "Bring us Barabbas!" Shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify!" echoing throughout all the crowds. There his enemies were, yet what does Jesus do? By his mercy, with tears in his eyes, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is love, that Jesus willingly went to the cross to be crucified for you. Certainly not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. His sacrifice, his body and blood, this death and resurrection of Christ for you. And we are always in the merciful hand of our Lord, and there's nothing we can do to earn it. But it's the Lord that comes to us by making us rich, by washing away all our sins, sanctifying you, satisfying you in the fulfillment of what Jesus gives by his all-encompassing, gospel-loving work. By his mercy, we are here right now. We are here as the forgiven children of the Most High, redeemed and paid for all by his body and blood. This is who we are, all by God's mercy. And you are forgiven. And you have the keys to eternal life, and you have his mercy. And it's by this mercy, as free children of God, that we love and we be merciful to one another. It's by this mercy that we are to shine as a beacon of God's light, not as a flashlight aimed at other people, but as a light on the hill guiding all who are lost to Christ. It is by this mercy that he has given such great joy, knowing full well that in this one true faith, God has given you the very word that we rest upon in his promises of forgiveness. And it is in this identity, by the merciful hand of Jesus Christ, in the forgiveness of sins as children of God the Most High, that we go forward in the victorious life of the gospel. We go in his name, under his promise, as the ones paid for, redeemed, and loved in the name of Christ to serve others, to be merciful to those who might be enemies in our lives, to love unconditionally as we always have our eyes fixed on the cross. The body and blood of Jesus has been given for us and to us in word and sacrament, renewing us, connecting us to the victorious, loving, and merciful work of our Lord. This is who we are, and this is what we are called to do. And not by our own hand, but by the merciful hands of Jesus. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.